Okay, we're back with the Tip TV Finance Show and my co-host who is Charlie Gibson, head of mining at Edison Research. I've been rehearsing that all week. And Mark Ostwald, who is a strategist, ADM Investor Services International. How are you today, Mark?
I'm very well.
Actually, it works better when I don't read. It's just difficult to be reading and speaking at the same time.
Yeah. Well, that's multitasking, reading and speaking.
That's either talk or read. Right, I have some very carefully curated questions here for you, Mark, and I think you're the best person to answer this. Fed December rate hike bets rise to 74%. Is this premature conviction given the election risk flurry of economic data releases? Will Yellen signal a December rate hike today?
No, I think what we'll have today, I think the most interesting aspect is, first of all, if anyone from the audience starts to ask them the awkward question about politicisation, given that Mr. Harker of the Philadelphia Fed yesterday conceded the fact that actually they're going to have to delay any decision until after the election, which I always thought that the great central bank mantra is we can do anything we want. It's not dependent on the political process.
Okay. We're in a democracy.
Yes.
But why would you believe a mantra?
Yes, exactly. I mean, it's always been, no one believes that in financial markets, but it's always been their mantra. So what we've got today, of course, is a bit of a face-off between a newly found hawk, Mr. Rosengren of the Boston Fed, whose economics conference this is today, who did that unusual thing of actually making a proper statement after the Fed statement on the Friday after it, to protest at the decision, and Ms. Yellen, who is basically trying to manage a very dissonant Fed. And basically what it boils down to, I think there's two aspects. One is there are a lot of political appointees on the central committee of the Fed. They run scared of their own shadow. Ms. Brainard's not quite sure whether she's going to be on the Fed after December, or whether she's going to be Treasury Secretary. That's not biased at all.
That's the sort of problem that you have as well, isn't it? Am I on the Monetary Policy Committee, or am I going to be, Chancellor of the Exchequer?
Yes.
We've got this sort of dichotomy between the people who are worried about financial stability, i.e. the hawks, the dissenters, and the Central Committee, which wants at any cost to delay any decision because they're afraid of another upset in financial markets, and they'll always be afraid of it. I mean, that's the fact of the matter. So hopefully they're thinking that, and this is probably what Harker's admission is they'll find something in the election results to say, oh, well, we've got financial instability now, best not go in December. But for the time being, I think she'll signal that there is a willingness to discuss a rate hike in December. But beyond that, she'll probably emphasise they're under no pressure because inflation's relatively well behaved. Well, inflation, 2.3% CPI inflation, it's reasonably well behaved, but you do have to ask yourself, what do you need rates at between 0.5 and 0.75 for? And she'll also emphasise that we can afford to let the labour market run hot. So, that's where we stand with the Fed. I think the more interesting comments today, perhaps...
Can we afford to let the labour market run hot? Is that?
No, I don't think we can, because I think actually that's what's really going to undo things, that people, that this issue of financial stability, which basically is that at the heart of QE, is basically to ensure that capital misallocation is, de facto part of the furniture. At some point, that won't work out. And you're already seeing some concessions coming in the bond market, the realisation that if there's such a determination to let unemployment and inflation run hot, then yields need to back up, particularly given that there is a risk that there'll be a lot more fiscal spending after the election, whoever wins. But on the other side of the coin, we've got Bank of England speaking today, which should be interesting. Mr. Carney doubtless will say our analysis is right because it's always right, even if he's been proven wrong. But it is the first opportunity that we've had for the various and pretty much everybody who's a governor or a deputy governor is going to be speaking at this future forum in the Midlands, where the bank is reaching out to businesses and the public to get a better understanding, to help them understand and gain the trust of the public, apparently. Leaving that aside...
So, do they think they've lost the trust of the public, then, is it?
Well, they certainly lost the trust of foreign exchange traders, yeah. Judging by the performance of the sterling. It is the first opportunity since we've had this sort of next leg down in sterling for them to basically reevaluate whether, in light of the fact that incoming economic data, while not strong, but it's not as weak as they were forecasting, and in light of the fact that we've got sterling marching steadily lower and implicitly suggesting that, you know, their forecasts of, oh, well, CPI might creep up to 2.3 or 2.4%, which seems to be wholly unlikely. Yeah, well, very, very optimistic.
Going in the short term, I think it's going over three.
CPI should go to three, RPI could go to four. Certainly 3.5 is already discounted in index-linked break-evens. Mm-hmm. And it's a chance to see whether there is a change of tune. Probably not from Mr. Carney, but maybe from some others. Because the interesting thing at the moment is they did the latest Reuters poll of expectations for the BOE rate profile, but the majority hasn't changed their mind. Despite that fall in sterling, they still expect the bank to institute this pointless 15 basis point cut by the end of the year, which one presumes would come with the inflation report in November. So that's where I think...
What are we cutting to at that point?
0.1.
0.1, right.
Isn't it utter madness?
Yeah, well, of course it's utter madness.
Especially if inflation... I mean, I don't think inflation is going to go up either, but, I mean, if it did go to 2 or 3% under some, you know, the way they're fiddling and everything else, then he'd have to raise interest rates.
Well,
which he can't do either, because he's in a car which only goes in one direction.
Well,
they won't mind a prolonged period of negative real interest rates, will they?
No, definitely not. Exactly. You know, they would say that given all the uncertainty and the risks that are out there,
that's what they want to engineer.
Real rates need to be.
Yeah.
However, there is a point where you start to march inflation too high,
yeah,
where you conduct this policy of benign neglect that there's always been towards the UK currency. You know, this isn't something to do with Conservative governments or Labour governments. There's always been, well, we don't intervene, we just work with the market, and if the market wants to beat up on it, so what? What do we care? And someone comes up with some mantra about it being good for exports. Very interesting change of tune from Mr. Johnson this week, I thought. Back in 2008, he called the fall in sterling in the wake of the financial crisis a national humiliation. This week, he's telling us about how wonderful it's going to be. What a wonderfully duplicitous person who we have as our foreign secretary.
I would call him
politician is duplicitous. I'm not sure that's a headline that's going to run.
No, it's not something which is news.
Yeah. But it is a good observation nonetheless.
Right, on that note, Mark Oswald, who is strategist at ADM Investor Services International, thanks for coming in today. We'll have Stephen Woodcock after the break.